And I really want to thank you for coming and for joining this committee and for waiting. I'm Suzanne Message. I'm the city clerk. And I think what we'll do is start with roll call of the members who are present, and then we'll go around and introduce each other. Please turn on your mics. There's a button, and it will light up green at the base of your microphone, so you'll know it's on. That'll help us get an accurate recording.
Committee member Maribel Alvarez.
Absent.
Committee member Patrick Robles.
Present.
Committee member Jennifer Darland.
Present.
Committee member Ed Hendel.
Absent.
Committee member Alexis Kailani Dudois.
Absent.
Committee member Bobby Jaramillo.
Present.
Committee member Mark Crum.
Present.
So we have quorum. And I mentioned I'm Suzanne Message. I'm the city clerk. I've been the city clerk for 7 or 8 months, but I've been in the office for many more decades than 7 months. So I'm happy to be here, and I really appreciate you all taking this on, because we have a short time frame and some work to do. So thank you for being here.
Hi, my name is Yolanda. I'm the chief deputy city clerk. I've been with the city clerk's office 15 years, but in this position as long as Suzanne has been city clerk. And so we work very close together. This is my first big redistricting event, so welcome and thank you for serving on the commission.
Good evening. My name is Dennis McLaughlin. I'm with the city attorney's office. I was just telling Mark I've been with the city attorney for 30 years, and I've been in on several redistricting advisory committees. So welcome all, and I look forward to working with you through Suzanne.
My name is Jennifer Spashen. I am also an attorney with the city attorney's office, and I've been in the civil division for about 3 years, and it will be my second go around.
Hi, my name is Maria Talamante. I'm the assistant city clerk for our office, and I've been with our office for 7 years.
I'm Randy Jones. I worked part-time for the city clerk for the last 20 years.
Hi, Robert Hunter, city clerk's office, admin assistant.
Hi there, I'm Shauna Lee. I've been with the city clerk's office for 18 years. This is my third go-around with the Redistricting Advisory Committee, starting back in 2012.
Hello, I'm Randy Hamill. I am the systems analyst for the city clerk.
So just to tell you what some of the roles are, Randy, as the systems analyst, is our IT specialist, and he's going to help operate the software we'll be using. Shauna Lee is a management coordinator, and not only her experience in redistricting, but her experience in our office elevated her to the fun job of administering this committee. And Robert Hunter is going to be her admin assistant. So you'll be hearing from Shauna and Robert about meeting times and any other logistics that we need to meet with you on. I think we'll follow the agenda and start with Yolanda on open meeting law.
Okay, so I did leave handouts on the table, and I'm just going to do a really quick, brief overview of open meeting law. Open meeting law is through state statute, and it was implemented in 1962, and it's kind of changed and evolved around throughout the years.
But there's two core concepts of the open meeting law. One is that it requires that all meetings of a public body be conducted openly with notices and agendas that contain information necessary to inform the public about the committee's activities. So the key here is that is the public informed? We always have to be make sure that they're informed and have access to our meetings. Okay. So that's a biggie. The second is that it provides the public access to government and ensures that the people's business is conducted openly. Next, we're going to go into what constitutes a meeting for the redistricting committee. A meeting is a gathering of the commission or the committee and through in person, through technical devices, through phone, if you have to call it, attend via phone, a quorum of the public body. So for this commission, there's 7 people on the committee, so a quorum is 4. At any point in time, if that quorum, we lose that quorum, we have to stop the meeting immediately, and we can't continue. If you have to get up and go take a phone call or for whatever reason, we can recess the meeting for that time. Once you come back, we'll resume the meeting. But if you have to leave and be gone for the rest of the meeting, the rest of us will have to stop the meeting. And this applies to all boards, committees, and commissions, and any of their subcommittees. So a meeting, components of a meeting are your agenda, that we establish a quorum. Call to the audience is most of the time part of the agenda. It's not required, but we do like to have that to give the public an opportunity to speak on whatever items you might be talking about. Executive sessions, we won't ever have executive sessions for our commission. And then we have to do a legal action report within 3 days of the meeting and written and approved minutes or an audio. So we do both because sometimes it takes us a little bit of time to do minutes. We'll always do, for this commission, we'll do a verbatim transcription of the minutes, and that's what we'll use as for you to approve at the next ensuing meeting. So if there are any violations of the open meeting law, investigations for open meeting law violations are done through public complaints to the Attorney General's office. If they call us, we don't do anything about it. We refer them to the Attorney General's office. They handle those complaints and can start an investigation. So, you know, violations can be that you talk to each other outside the meeting and there's a quorum. That's a violation of open meeting law. Any business for the committee or the commission that you do has to be done in the public meeting, open meeting that the public has access to. Arizona has one of the stricter laws of open meeting law. And in the country, and again, it's regulated by the Attorney General's office and complaint driven. If you are found in violation of an open meeting law, you are personally liable. The city attorney cannot defend you. You could be fined up to $500 for that violation, and then you will be removed from the committee. So ways to avoid some of those violations is don't daisy chain with any phone calls, emails with other BCC members. If you have something you need to send out to another member or members, do it through our support staff. They will send it out with the notation. And when you do get an email, be sure not to reply to all. Just reply. If we're asking for a reply, you reply to just that person, and they will keep, the support staff will keep track of whatever it is we're asking. Okay. So again, don't daisy chain on those emails and phone calls, and don't use a spoken wheel concept. So are you all familiar about spoken wheel, where A talks to B, B talks to C, A talks to whatever, that type of thing? So just kind of try and avoid all that. We ask that you avoid all that so that we're not in violation of the open meeting. you can't consensus build on any items that we bring forward outside of the meeting. They can only be discussed during the meeting and acted upon at the meeting. Try and stay on track during the meetings. Stay focused, and that's part of our job. It will keep you to stay on what's on the agenda and just make sure that we only talk about those things on the agenda. Conflict of interest, that was brought up just before we started. A conflict of interest, any public officer or employee of a public agency who has or whose relative has a substantial interest in any contract, sale, purchase, or service, shall make known that that they have that interest and state that that's a conflict of interest for them. I think your question was, Robert, that if you're...
It says here, all members, qualifications, all members of the committee shall be qualified city electors, and none shall hold any elected. See, that's I need a definition of
so
any
just,
elected public
yeah.
office.
So we just conferred with our city attorney,
yeah, attorney,
and that statement right there refers to any elected office within the city of Tucson.
Within the city, or
the city
government.
City government.
Oh, okay.
City government.
Because I do.
So you could be like on the school board, Patrick,
with
you know, with something else, Mr. Crum with. Yeah,
okay.
But in city government, you can't be on.
Thank you for clarifying.
Like a council member or.
Okay. Okay? Got to make sure.
Yeah.
On the record.
On the record. Got proof for you.
And we appreciate it.
Okay. Any questions about that? Just kind of real quick. So if you do think there's a conflict of interest, we ask that you declare that ahead of time, so that we know, and then you will not be able to vote on that item. So hopefully we don't have that, because this is kind of, or participate in the discussion.
As far as the open meeting law, if it's open and people would like to come in, there's no access to the building, how is that justified?
So right now there is access through the front. We're not opening this door right here because we forgot to arrange for security.
Mm-hmm.
But for future meetings, we will have security at the front door so that people can come in.
Okay, because when I talked to the young man up front, he was unaware that these doors were closed, and he wouldn't let us in the front door. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
We got it. I'm sorry? If we didn't notice it as being a online.
So am I able to call a colleague on the board about an item on the agenda, or?
So call another member of the board to discuss an item that's on the agenda? No.
Yes, I agree with Yolanda. That's exactly what you don't want to do other than in the meeting.
But outside of the meeting?
Not outside the meeting. And the people think, well, I'm not going to call on anything that we're going to decide or whatever, and it never ends up that way.
That's the
problem.
Yeah.
Thanks. Good question.
Any other questions? I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's go through the contents of your binders. I know you picked up some new material as you came in, but I just thought I'd go through it because there's quite a bit of material for you to look over between now and the next meeting. And I'll just start with the first tab because that's got the list of who's on the committee and their contact information. And I want to assure you that if a member of the public, if we get a public records request for your names and who's on the committee, we provide just the name and the email address. We don't provide your home, work address, or phone numbers. Behind tab number 2, The first item is what we call the data sheet, and it's basically summarized information about the committee, what ordinances or resolutions have been adopted by mayor and council that pertain, what the qualifications of membership are, and what the functions of the committee in terms of office are. After that, we have an excerpt from the Tucson Charter about the redistricting committee. And behind that, an excerpt from the city code. And the charter is basically our guiding document, almost like a constitution. The code is what adopts the policies and procedures to comply with the charter. Behind tab number 3, we have what we call the legal requirements and policy guidelines for the redistricting advisory committee. And it starts with the U.S. Constitution, how we calculate what we is termed the MPD, and we're going to go through the MPD when we get to the base map because it's online. And then the policy objectives, which have changed a little bit this year because mayor and council have adopted a new ordinance. After those guidelines, we've given you a communication on the redistricting advisory committee listing the time frame for 2022. And the next item is the mayor and council communication dated August 9th, 2022. And that's the one I'm talking about that has some new guidelines. And in it, it discusses some terms that we'll go through later: dilution, rough proportionality, fragmenting, and packing. That's followed by a memorandum dated March 18th, 2008, and it's signed by Dennis. And it kind of also explains what we put in the guidelines about the MPD, what the city code and the charter require, and it's an official legal opinion. So that's why we've included it, because it also has some history going back to 2002 redistricting on some things that occurred and how we got to where we are now. After Dennis's memo, you'll see the inmate population in Tucson as of May 18th. That will come up in your discussions and in your consideration at a later time. And then now you know why Dennis has been in the office for 30 years, because we have a memo dated 2002 from him. That is why it explains why we include the jail population in the overall city population when we're redistricting. And then tab 4 has the supervisorial, congressional, and legislative districts of the whole county. Tab 5 will be for minutes or documents that you're creating. Tab 6 has the list of precincts by ward, so it's in ward order. And you can see it's color-coded because we have what we call split precincts, where one precinct is divided into two wards. We have that followed by the legal descriptions of the precincts, if you care to see those. And then behind tab 7, we have a list of the annexations up to the city for the last 10 years. And I think the next tab, 10, 11, and 12, are historical information in a little more detail going back to 2012, I think, Shauna, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was a very big redistricting year. So you might want to take a look at that. And then the last tab is tab 14, and it's got some more open meeting law information, including a memorandum. I'm sure Dennis wrote it. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, this is Mike Rankin. So he signed it, but I'm sure Dennis wrote it.
It's even better coming from Mike.
Yeah. And Randy, are we set up to do a PowerPoint, or would you prefer I just pass? Okay. So this is a little bit of information on what your responsibilities will be. Your first duty is to review the relevant data, and mostly it's going to be census data. And it's going to, your first decision really is going to be whether or not we actually need to redistrict. So we will give you, we'll go through the base map and the population figures in a few minutes, and you'll see that it's going to be very easy for you to make a decision on that. If you find that redistricting this year is necessary, you'll once again go through the data. I'm on a different slide. There we go. One of the things you're required to do is hold at least one public hearing. So once you have proposals that you're kind of going through and you think you've got them where you're ready to show them to the public, we need to have at least one public hearing. And then you're going to recommend to the mayor and council the manner in which you think redistricting would best be complied with, or to comply with the charter. And then make an, go ahead. Mark.
Yeah, I've got a question about the public meeting. If we don't have any changes at all, do we still, are we still required to have a public meeting?
Yes, I think so. It's okay. Probably be a small
thank you
hearing, but yeah.
Mark, somebody in theory, I think, could come and want to say, no, you should have a change.
I just
wanted to have that opportunity.
I got the idea that if there were no changes, you didn't have to have one. But I think it's a great idea to have one regardless.
Yeah. Good question again.
Thank you.
So one of the challenges this year with redistricting is for cities, redistricting begins at the state level, and it is run by an independent redistricting commission. And without getting into too much detail, because I don't know it all anyway, there were some court cases involved at the state level, and it, the actual implementation was delayed. So that delayed Pima County from reprecincting, which they were finally able to do in late February of 2022. But they still needed to redistrict for their supervisorial districts, and they completed that action in late May. So now it falls to the city. We had to reprecinct because we have to adopt the county precincts, so we were able to do that, but then we needed to actually redistrict. So that's why we're here now. The redistricting process is supposed to be completed by December 31st, 2022, but that means that mayor and council only have the month of December to consider your recommendation. So you have a deadline of November 30th, 2022 to complete this process. Our current, as I mentioned, we did reprecinct, and we the last time we redistricted was in 2020. So some of the requirements that you'll need to keep in mind when you're redistricting are, first, the federal constitution requirement of one person, one vote, that concept. And then the MPD, the maximum population deviation. I don't think I ever said what that was. Then we have the Tucson Charter, and it says that no redistricting plan shall be drawn for the purpose of favoring or disfavoring any political party or person, nor for the purpose of diluting the voting strength of any racial or ethnic minority group. To the extent reasonably practicable, wards should be equal in population and shall be contiguous and compact. So I'm sure you'll get into that a little bit as you're making your consideration. The other part of the charter requires you to redistrict based on the total population. And as I mentioned when we were going through the binder, this does include the population of jails and prisons that are located in the city limits. And we do have an official legal opinion about that, those inmates should be included in the count. So federal law permits the city to decide whether or not they should count the inmate population. The city has said, yes, we do. Then we go on to our policy objectives. That was part of one of the documents that you saw, but I just wanted to point it out. Within the Tucson Charter framework and the U.S. Constitution, we want to maintain a maximum population deviation across all six wards of no greater than 10%. Maintain established and recognizable ward boundaries with a minimum of disruption. Sustain the compactness of wards as they exist now, I put previously, but and then maintain the ethnic balance so as not to dilute the Hispanic vote. So I mentioned software. This year we're using AutoBound software, which will allow you to see in real time if you suggest moving Precinct 98 from Ward 5 to Ward 6. You'll be able to see right away what effect that will have on the population deviation and the minority voting. Then we give preference to options that will advance rough proportionality of minority voting power. And rough proportionality is defined as the establishment of districts or wards, in our case wards, where the number of wards in which the minority groups constitute a majority percentage of the voting age population is roughly proportional to the minority voters' share of the overall age population. And that definition is in your binder. It's a little tough to get through, but that'll be something we'll help you keep in mind. You have to give preference to options that reduce dilution that may otherwise exist from prior packing or fragmenting. And packing means just what it sounds like, the practice of packing minority voters or voting blocks into one small ward or a small number of wards to minimize their influence. And then fragmenting would be the exact opposite of that, so that minority voters in districts and wards would be blocked by the majority voters. And as I mentioned, we have six precincts that are split between wards. So one of your goals is to try and minimize that if you can. So with that.
Suzanne, could I add one thing?
Please.
This is an excellent presentation by Suzanne. I just wanted to mention, for those of you who actually read all the material, you'll see in there that in my 2008 memo, there's a reference to preclearance, which used to be true, but isn't true anymore. So if you read about the requirement of preclearance by the Department of Justice, that is not a requirement anymore. Doesn't mean we aren't trying to do all the things Suzanne just said. It just means we're not going to have that as an additional thing that we have to comply with or put in for. Thanks.
And when you mention minority, are we talking racial and ethnic minorities or political party minority?
All right, could you repeat that question?
When we use the term minority, are we referring to racial and ethnic minorities or political party minorities?
Well, in theory, I suppose we could be doing either, because the charter says you can't do it to disfavor political groups. But you you definitely, most of the time when we talk about it, it's racial or ethnic minority.
Yeah.
Certainly on the packing and fragmenting. Well, I don't want to say that. It could be either one.
Yeah.
It's both.
We haven't. We can get it from voter registration.
Yeah.
Okay. Item 5 on the agenda is election of officers. You do need a chair, and I know you don't. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking ahead. I wrote, I would like to move that we postpone selecting a chair for the RAC committee until our next meeting, when we will have hopefully 7 members present.
I second that.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And we're just doing the basics today anyway, so that works. I mentioned the timelines already. We need to have your written recommendation ready to go to Mayor and Council by November 30th so that they have December to consider and adopt a proposal. So now we'll go to item 7, the review of the base map and a discussion of options. And Shauna, I think, has base maps to pass out to you, and they will show you what I'm talking about with the MPD and where we stand now. And Randy also brought the map up on the monitor if you'd like, whatever is easier for you. And Randy, I think we calculated that the overall city MPD is 14.2%, correct?
According to the application, it is
13.4%.
Is up on the screen now if you want.
So if you look at the base map that we handed out at the bottom left-hand side, you'll see the population tabulation and just some demographics that you need to keep in mind. You can see, and the way we calculate the MPD is you take the most underrepresented ward and the most overrepresented ward and add them together, but the negative number turns positive. And you can follow the directions in your binder and proof the math, but we came up with what did you say? Yep, that's it.
Susan?
Uh-huh.
I have a question. As far as population goes, are the folks that live on base, are they considered part of the population as well?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's all in Ward 4. So that big precinct 114 between Kolb and the freeway is in kind of pink is the base, I believe, most of the base. So as you can see, the most underrepresented ward is Ward 1. and the most overrepresented is Ward 4. We have looked at these ourselves, and the ward or the precincts with the diagonal lines in them are where they're split between wards. And I'll start with precinct 153 on the northwest side. It's part green and part blue. The green part is in Ward 1 and the blue part is in Ward 3. And you can see it's hard to read the precinct number 153 right above Gore or Gorette Road, and it has 4,526 voters. And if you move east from there, there's a precinct 42, which is split between Ward 3 and Ward 6. The top half is blue. The bottom part is buff colored. So those are the splits that we're talking about that, if at all possible, we'd like to resolve those and put the whole precinct in one ward. And did you pass? And so we had, we did go through those splits and came up with another map that has a different population deviation if we just resolve the precinct splits. And we just did this as a way to show you what we can do. And then we can also, using the software, if you have any questions or want to look at precincts, we can do that. So on the map called Split Precinct Consolidation Proposal Number 1, you can see it resolved the deviations that are red and slightly changed the other ones, some for the better and some not. But that actually really helped our population deviation. So I don't know how much you want to do on this tonight, but you're welcome to take these home and kind of digest all of this information and see where you want to go from here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've got a question about Precinct 82.
Right.
Is it possible to make a determination in terms of the split as how many minorities are in each of those areas?
I think because we would have to determine the number of voters registered in Ward 3 and the number registered in Ward 6. Or 6, I'm sorry, 6 and 5. And try and guess the percentage. Is that what you're talking about?
This is a difficult one because in the past, the recommendation was for all of the precinct to go to Ward 6.
Right.
But what I did was actually drove around the entire precinct. And I thought it being pretty consistent with the population, which I would expect in Ward 5. So I don't have any particular problem with that occurring.
Okay.
I just have a question is in terms of the consistency of the makeup of that particular precinct and whether or not we had any specific information relating to the minority makeup between the splits. And if we don't, that's fine. I understand.
We have the overall demographics.
I wouldn't expect you to have it necessarily.
We have the overall demographics for the whole precinct, but we don't have it split by ward.
Got it.
Something we might be able to get. We can look into that.
And Suzanne, it seems like we'd be sort of at the mercy of the granularity of the census in terms of trying to guesstimate what the makeup is based on any particular splitting or not splitting. Right? They may not coincide. In fact, they almost certainly won't coincide
That's,
on boundaries.
That is the problem.
Yeah. Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Suzanne, sorry. Yes. Can I make one other comment on MPD? Without trying to influence you at all on any particular plan or anything, I just wanted to clarify one thing on MPD. So legally, the reason that you go for under 10% is that what the courts say is when you're under 10%, you're presumptively valid. You don't have to really defend it at all. If my memory is right, the case law was that between 10 and I think there were cases where it was 17% or 17.4, you can still defend it, but you don't have that presumption of validity. You have to show why you are doing what you're doing. And then if you are above 17, I think it's 0.4%, call it 17 for our discussion, then it's presumptively invalid and you're going to have a problem if you try to implement that. So those are just why those numbers are the way they are. And it's why 10% or under and the closer to zero you are, the better off you are, just so you know that.
And that's something that's been decided by the U.S. Supreme Court several times, right?
Correct. Yeah. That's where a lot of that framework has come from, is actual U.S. Supreme Court cases.
Any thoughts on this so far? Mm-hmm. Is this something you want to take home and just review on your own time and see what you would like to discuss for the next meeting? Okay.
Work. This is not easy, I know.
Well, we have great staff, and to figure out this auto-bound software is a huge, great tool for us, so we're glad to have it. So, thank you.
Just simplify it. I do have a question. Why the different in colors?
Just because it's easier to tell the wards apart.
Okay.
Also, we have no say in, like, annexation, correct? This is purely just the redrawing of the current boundaries as they stand.
Right, and it's the ward boundaries, okay. Not the boundaries of the city. So it's strictly ward, and we have to go with the precinct boundaries as they exist now.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't think I acknowledged Peter Johnson from IT, who's sitting in the audience, but I think he's been a tremendous help to us with the AutoBound and GIS, so thank you. And we have a few other staff members online. We appreciate you all attending tonight.
Thank you all.
have a question. Once the final say-so is made, does it go to the public before it goes to mayor and council? Okay.
And just as a point of clarification, sometimes the public doesn't like what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, do you want to digest that and yes. We can discuss when you want to meet next?
Do we need a motion?
No, we can just set a meeting date and time. If there's a day of the week that works better for you.
Thursday is good for me.
Thursdays are good for you?
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Patrick?
Yeah, that works. I'm not sure about colleagues.
I know. We'll check with them.
Okay.
How's 5:30? Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, do you want to meet weekly or more often?
What's that again?
Do you want to meet once a week or more often than that?
Once a week is fine.
Okay. Yes.
So how about if we set the next meeting for Thursday, the 27th of October at 5:30?
I may not be able to make that particular Thursday.
Okay.
Is there another date that would work for you?
Any other day, you know. But other than that, I mean, I could do other Thursdays.
Okay.
It's an eventful week for the university.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I bet. You're okay, Mark. How about you,
yes.
Jennifer? Does Thursday work for you, Jennifer? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, but it doesn't for Patrick. So is Wednesday okay? Or Tuesday? We don't have a council meeting on Tuesday.
Tuesday sounds okay. I don't know about my colleagues.
Yeah.
Tuesday's okay? Did you say, Patrick?
Tuesday is okay.
Yeah, okay, the 26th.
Actually, I think Tuesday's bad in our office. Is Wednesday okay? Sorry about that.
Thursday works the best for me.
But just for this next week, Wednesday, after that, we'll do.
Just for next week.
Next week, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Same time.
So for the next agenda would be probably discussion of the precinct consolidation proposal and any data that you have or want to see. Think about what if there's any additional information you'd like us to provide and let us know. Otherwise, it'll be a pretty straightforward agenda each meeting. We don't have a chair of the committee right now, but we would probably put call to the audience on the agenda. That's our standard procedure with mayor and council, just in case there are members of the public who want to speak. If there's nothing else, we can adjourn. Unless anybody has anything else.
Fine.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That was an easy one.
Thank you. Thank you for.
Thank you to Kate and Laura. We appreciate that. Thank you, Kate and Laura.